Mr. Veal, good morning.
Morning. May it please the court, Christopher Deal for amicus in support of the appellant Ellie Byrne Angelino. District courts generally have broad discretion to determine when to dismiss for failure to prosecute. But in cases like this one, where the dismissal is premised on a delay in the successful completion of service, that discretion is constrained under this court's precedents. And because under this court's decisions in Smith Bay and Novak, a district court can only exercise its discretion to dismiss for failure to prosecute due to a delay in service in two types of cases. First, where the district court concludes that there's no reasonable prospect that service can be obtained on the defendants. And second, where the district court finds that a dismissal is justified based on a lengthy period of inactivity for which the plaintiff is responsible. In this case, the district court didn't rely on either one of those grounds in dismissing Mr. Angelino's complaint, nor did it make any factual findings that would support a determination on either one of those grounds.
Well, we know he didn't delay. We know that. He tried several times to get these people served. But didn't the district judge, at least by implication, find that this just wasn't going to be successful? I know he didn't say that expressly, but what about the first
finding? I think that the most that could be said about what the district court did in that regard, Your Honor, is that the district court may have found that service wasn't going to be successful under Section 1608A1, that Mr. Angelino wasn't going to be able to demonstrate a special arrangement for service. But there was no basis for the district court to determine whether or not service was going to be effective under 1608A3 or A4 as to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and certainly nothing to indicate that service wouldn't be effective on the individual defendants.
Well, how about the fact that the Supreme Court case Samantar, which happened, I think, after this, doesn't that say that 1608 is not used under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act, that you go by Rule 4, what is it, 4F or 4J?
Yes, Your Honor, with respect to individual defendants who are being, you know,
right, because he's also suing as the state of Saudi Arabia.
Yes, okay. Yes, that's right. And, you know, we think that's precisely the problem here with respect to the dismissal as to the individual defendants, that Mr. Angelino relied on prior case law in believing that service under Section 1608 would be sufficient. Now, even if the district court had made one of these required findings, the district court didn't give Mr. Angelino sufficient notice that it was going to make one of those findings in order for him to be able to meaningfully respond to that. You know, if the court, it doesn't sound like it, but if the court were inclined to find that that there had been a delay for which Mr. Angelino was responsible for, the district court was obligated to tell Mr. Angelino that and give him an opportunity to respond to it.
The district court twice indicated that he was ordered to show cause why it shouldn't be dismissed, right?
That's certainly right, Your Honor.
So that is notice that you need to show why service has been effectuated or could be, right?
Well, it certainly gave him notice that the district court didn't believe that he had successfully completed service under Section 1608A1, but it didn't give him notice that the district court found that he had, perpetrated an extended period of delay or inactivity that would justify a general dismissal.
Well, you get two orders that say show either proof of service or cause why the case should not be dismissed without prejudice. That seems pretty straightforward warning.
I think that
if you don't make your case for why to show that you're going to be able to serve it, it's going to be dismissed.
I think that would be, that's a permissible interpretation of what happened if Mr. Angelino were represented by counsel, but under this court's decisions in Neal versus Kelly and Moore, this court has said that the notice that a pro se litigant receives has to be reasonably calculated to give someone in their position notice of what is required. And I think that you can tell from the way that Mr. Angelino responded that he didn't actually have notice that he needed to serve under Section 4F. He may have known that a dismissal was coming, but he didn't know what he needed to do, the type of information that the district court needed in order to determine to not dismiss the case.
Well, in a perfect world, what should have happened? In other words, the orders to show cause did reference 4J and also 1608. And Mr. Angelino's responses were all focused on the A1, continuing to try to show that he had proof of a special arrangement. What more should a district court do when our court has said, a pro se litigant has to be advised of the procedural matters? I know you make the statute of limitations right. point, but I was just wondering, since the district court did cite at least the subsection of Rule 4 and also the statute, what more?
We think that the district court should set forth all of the present deficiencies with service. That's the first thing. So here the first deficiency that the district court found, it said that there was a problem under 1608A1. It didn't say, and you haven't attempted service under A3 and A4, which are available to you. And it didn't say anything about the individual defendants.
Why would that have helped matters? I mean, you know A3 and A4 are available.
Well, I know that A3 and A4 are available, but it's not clear that Mr. Angelino knew that that he could proceed on to A3 and A4 since he's obligated under to attempt A1 first, and he believed in good faith that A1 was the required method for service. So based on that, he thought he was obligated to proceed under A1, and if the district court believed that A1 was never going to be an option, it should have said that and allowed him to, and said, and you haven't attempted under the other means for service under 1608. And most importantly, you haven't attempted at all as to the individual defendants, which you are now obligated to do under the Supreme Court's recent decision.
So the order saying that, actually the dismissal order saying that he had failed to show a special arrangement and he needed to proceed under 4F should have ended by saying, and you have 30 days to either identify alternative service under subsections. And I suppose, following up on Judge Henderson's point, say something about how the law had changed, so his original assumption was no longer valid.
I'm not sure that the district court needed to, go into the explanation of the change in the law, but just I think it would be sufficient to say, Section 4F, you have to serve the individual defendants under Section 4F. I think that's what's required. And I think also that the district court was required to give give Mr. Angelino notice that which of the permissible grounds for dismissal it was going to proceed under, so that he could know that that's why the case would be dismissed. Because dismissal isn't, in cases like this one, can't be just premised on the fact that service hasn't been effective yet. It has to be because there's no reasonable prospect of service, and that there's been this lengthy period of inactivity. And Mr. Angelino was entitled to notice that that's the reason why the district court was going to dismiss, so that he could provide whatever information that the district court thought was necessary.
Another aspect of this case that's sort of interesting is the notion that while Mr. Angelino was trying to prove a special arrangement, it wasn't clear that he understood what an special arrangement had to show. In other words, he showed, it seems to me, that he did communicate with the individuals through the embassy, but that's not the same as a special arrangement for service. And that was never communicated as well.
Yes, Your Honor, that's right.
And so I'm just wondering how much the district court has to do. That's where do we draw the line?
Right. And I would just say that I think the district court states the present deficiencies with service. It states why it's considering dismissing the case, which of the grounds or both of the grounds that it's going to dismiss under, and to state whatever negative inferences that the court's going to draw if the litigant doesn't, say whatever, doesn't come forward with any particular type of information, such as information about the statute of limitations or anything else.
You make another point that the district court had an independent obligation in any event to consider the effect of the statute of limitations, whichever one applies here?
Yes, we think that's right. That's something that the district court should have considered before dismissing without prejudice, to ensure that the dismissal without prejudice was in fact a dismissal without prejudice and didn't become a dismissal with prejudice. I see that my time is up. I thank the court and ask that the court vacate remand with instructions to allow Mr. Angelino a reasonable opportunity to serve.
Mr. Deal, you were appointed by the court as amicus, and you have done an outstanding job. Your brief was very, very good, helped a lot, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
And Mr. Angelino, you have a right to argue yourself, so we've given you 3 minutes to argue your case.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Eddie Angelino. A lot of facts of this case have been misconstrued. First, the capacity of the defendants. 16 defendants have been sued in their official capacities. The record shows that 16 summons were issued and served on each of the 16 members of the royal family assault. The complaint, appendix page 6 and 7, stated clearly that the defendants are members of the royal family assault, citizens of Saudi Arabia, and as we know, citizens are individuals. The paragraph 1608-1603B, as stated in the venue, determines the status in which these 16 individuals are sued as agency or instrumentality of foreign state due to role they occupy with Saudi government. In other words, individuals sued in their official capacities. Second, and most importantly, the method and place of the service. First, the service was done more than 2 months before any changes to Foreign Immunity Act, while paragraph 1608A1 was still governing the service on political subdivisions. Therefore, since my communication with the defendants for years was arranged and maintained to Royal Embassy in Washington, D.C., appendix page 8590, all the summons were sent to the address of the embassy. Also, I would like to rely on the Federal Rule 4E in Sylvius v. Round. U.S. Court of Appeals of 11th Circuit ruled that Rule 4E provides for serving a foreign defendant via substitute service on the agent located in any jurisdictional district of the United States. Defendant and agent do not have to be at the same location. The focus is on the place of the service, not the location of the defendant at the time of the service. So the fact that the defendant do not live in the embassy and were not there at the time of the service has no bearing. According to Vienna Convention, Royal Embassy is the agent of Saudi government and its members in the U.S. So according to...
Excuse me. Do you want to finish your sentence? Then I have a question.
Yes. Please, I beg.
Do you understand now, having read the order of dismissal, that what you have done so far is insufficient?
Well, I did the right service, Your Honor, and was assigned on April 8, 2010
well,
by the Royal Embassy.
The district court explained in his opinion that you have not proved a special arrangement for service, and therefore you should proceed under Rule 4F or other parts of Section 1608.
But, Your Honor, 4E is before 4F, before any other rules. I can use 4E to serve the, you know, as an agent. I have to look for the place, not for the defense of foreigners. I don't have to go for the 4F, because this, my communication started with the royal family from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I am in this court to respectfully request to vacate the decision of district court and to grant me $133,309,000 multiplied by 7 years, $933,163,000. To recuperate the fortune that I invested in creating and producing these 29 pieces of art, their cost and value, as well as loss and damage caused by non-payment for the custom-made sculptures that, according to Prince Khaled Al-Saud, are not only great pieces of art, but also symbolize beautiful meaning. Thank you,
Your
Honor.
All right, Mr. Angelino, just so we're clear, 4E, which is what you're citing, that refers to serving an individual within a judicial district of the United States. And the people you're suing, so far as we know, are not in the United States.
It's any location. It's international. It's the immunity. It's the Immunity Act under 1608A1 and the 4E.
That's your theory, that it's sufficient for you to serve them through the embassy. But the district court has found that you have failed to show a special arrangement for service whereby the defendants have agreed that if you serve the embassy, they will not contest service.
Yes, Your Honor, but the embassy is the agent of the individuals and the missions. In their position, they are governors in Saudi Arabia. And also, even if I go 4F to foreign ministry, you're going to go to the royal court. It still is a ministry. It's called, again, it's an agent. It's not the royal palace, which is unknown to anybody in the world. You cannot have the palace of the royal kings. So even if I serve the royal court, it's still ministry as the embassy of the United States in Washington, D.C. So I have the 4E, which I knew from the beginning. And that's why I kept myself in the same direction, which I used from the first time when I met royal family. And also, Your Honor, when I started my relationship with royal family in 2004, I received the name from the royal family to the embassy. Was no Google yet. Was no Facebook, was no data available to the public, which you can get all these names. Nobody in the world, you can have the king or the crown prince, the name, they're not public like us. And, you know, I had to contact the embassy, I sent the brochures, I spoke to them, and I asked them, you know, this is who I am, this is what I do. And also, they provide me with the name of the royalty. And then I sent the marketing to the embassy, and it was forwarded to them. And I start receiving the response. This is where I start my relationship with the royal family. I did not just send the mail overseas, and I produce artwork.
Where did you send the sculptures?
I sent to the royal court. That's why I was told by the royal embassy.
Okay.
And the royal court also is like a ministry, not the palaces.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Angelo.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.